Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to We Get Results. It is Tuesday, April 27th, 2021, and I'm your host, Mary Singer Albertson. If you haven't joined me before, We Get Results airs on the fourth Tuesday of the month at 1 p.m. Eastern and is archived for later listening. The purpose of We Get Results is to discuss challenges we're facing in the U.S. and globally and connect listeners to ways they can make a difference. Everyone can get results if they know what to do and want to help make changes for the betterment of those who have no voice. One of the best ways I've found for one person to make a difference is taking action through the Results Organization. We're a volunteer citizens lobby meeting with Congress to create the political will to end hunger and poverty. So you can check out www.results.org. Click on the successes page to see what has been accomplished, and it's been a lot, by volunteers in the past 40 years or so. So today we are going to focus on child abuse because April is National Child Abuse Awareness Month. It brings national attention to a problem that is increasing and what everyone in the community can do. So my guest today is Nicole Mullane, who is the supervisor of the mentoring program at Child Safe Michigan. Child Safe Michigan is an excellent organization working with abused and neglected children in the areas of mentoring, foster care, and adoption. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Nicole before we start talking to her. Are you there, Nicole?
Yes, I'm here, Mary.
You can hear me? Okay,
yep.
Let me just, okay. All right, so a little bit about Nicole. She has over 20 years in the human services field. She's a licensed foster care worker and is the supervisor of the mentoring program, which services youth who've been abused and or neglected between the ages of 7 and 23. She's worked at Child Safe Michigan for 3 years, and prior to Child Safe Michigan, she was a substance abuse counselor for 5 years and a probation officer for 11 years. She received her BA in psychology and early childhood development at the University of Detroit Mercy, where she was a valedictorian. So welcome, Nicole. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
And
thank you, Mary, for having me on today.
Well, thank you for being on today. I appreciate your help, and I know you do lots of good work with Child Safe Michigan, and I think we just need to inform listeners of a lot of things that they might not know about child abuse. I think most people know something about child abuse, but there is a lot of information that we all need to know and what we might be able to do to help. So do you want to just talk about what child abuse is and what are the different types of child abuse?
Sure. So child abuse is defined as when a parent or caregiver, whether through action or failing to act, causes injury, death, emotional harm, or risk of serious harm to the child. And There are many forms of child abuse, but the most common are physical abuse, neglect, emotional abuse, and sexual abuse. So physical abuse is when someone hurts or harms a child or a young person on purpose. And that would include hitting with hands or objects, slapping, punching, kicking, shaking, throwing, poisoning, burning, biting, breaking bones. And It's also important to remember that physical abuse is any way of intentionally causing physical harm to a child or young person. And it also includes making up the symptoms of an illness or causing a child to become unwell. And neglect, which is the most common form of abuse, actually, that is an ongoing failure to meet the child's basic needs. And neglect can be a lot of different things, which can make it a little more difficult to spot. But broadly speaking, there are four types of neglect. So there's physical neglect, which is denying a child's basic needs, such as food, clothing, or shelter, or their needs are not met, or they are not properly supervised or kept safe. There's also mm-hmm. educational neglect, which a parent doesn't ensure that their child is given an education. They're missing a lot of days of school, or they're not enrolled in school. And we saw a lot of statistics on that due to the pandemic, because a lot of parents, they don't have the numbers quite yet, because it is hard to show the numbers, because there's not that it hasn't gone on long enough. But there were a lot of parents that they know that weren't enrolling their kids even in the virtual platforms that were offered. So mm-hmm. that's one concern. And then another form of neglect is emotional neglect, which a child doesn't get the nurture and stimulation that they need. And that could be through ignoring, humiliating them, intimidating them, or even just isolating them, not letting them go to school or be around anyone else. And then there's medical neglect, and that is when a child isn't given the proper health care, which would include dental care, or refusing or ignoring medical recommendations. Mm-hmm. Now we go into emotional abuse. So emotional abuse includes humiliating or constantly criticizing a child, threatening, shouting at a child or calling them names, making the child the subject of jokes or using sarcasm to hurt a child, blaming, scapegoating, making a child perform degrading acts, not recognizing mm-hmm. a child's own individuality or trying to control their lives, and pushing a child too hard or not recognizing their limitations. Also, that could include exposing a child to upsetting events or situations, which would include domestic violence, or the use of using drugs or drinking. Also, failing to promote a child's social development and not allowing them to have friends, persistently ignoring them, being absent, and never saying anything kind to them or expressing any type of positive feelings or congratulating mm-hmm. a child on success. So it's basically not, and again, it's not showing any emotions in interactions with the child. So that would also be considered emotional neglect. And the last most common form of abuse is sexual abuse. And there's two types of sexual abuse. There's contact and non-contact sexual abuse. And this can happen in person, or we've been seeing a lot more online as well. So contact abuse is when an abuser makes physical contact with a child, which would include sexually touching any part of the child's body, whether they're clothed or not, using a body part or object to rape or penetrate a child, forcing a child to take part in any sexual activities, and making a child undress or touch someone else. And contact abuse can include touching, kissing, oral sex, and sexual abuse that even isn't penetrative. And then there's the non-contact sexual abuse, and that's where a child is abused without being touched by the abuser. And that would be like exposing or flashing, showing pornography, exposing a child to sexual acts, making them masturbate, forcing a child to make, view, or share child abuse images or videos, and making and viewing or distributing child abuse images or videos, and also forcing mm-hmm. to take a child to take part in sexual activities or conversations online or through phone.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the different types of abuse.
That's an awful lot of stuff. I think that there probably, don't you feel like there's a lot of parents or families that wouldn't even think about some of the verbal abuse or threatening type things or not being nice or whatever, that wouldn't even think about that as
absolutely
neglect. Probably just think about it as, oh, that's just the way I parent. That's the way my parents parented me, and that's okay. But I think people just have no idea what some of the stuff is doing to children, and they just have no clue. So I'm glad that we're bringing this up, and I hope that there are other, you know, lots of programs going on trying to let people know what they should, you know, be careful that they don't do. I think there's a lot of times where parents are just so negative to the kids. I know when I was teaching and there was someone in kindergarten that wasn't doing very well, and I don't know where their parents were from. They were from another country, and not that that matters, but it was custom or whatever you want to call it, that the child just was supposed to get perfect grades and everything. And if they were in trouble or anything was wrong, you were afraid, teachers were afraid to tell the parents because they knew that something really bad was going to happen to the child. So sometimes it was really difficult, even though, you know, you are expected to report everything. But, I mean, there really wasn't anything to report at that point. It was just, you know, letting the parent know something the child didn't quite do right. And you kind of wondered if you should even say anything because
exactly.
It was so hard on them. So
right.
I think, you know, are you finding that there are, like, do you have programs that talk to parents about this type of thing, or how do you figure that people learn that all these things are stuff that they shouldn't be doing?
Well, if someone like else suspects child abuse, like a child's being abused, then generally what they would, you know, contact CPS, which is Child Protective
mm-hmm.
Services,
mm-hmm.
which I can provide the phone number. What I always do is I keep it in my contacts on my cell phone, but. And honestly, the first time that I ever had to make a report, I was really nervous, and that's very common for a lot of people, to feel anxious, nervous, unsure, you know, about getting in touch with them, because there's a lot of, what if you're wrong? A lot of people are worried, well, what if I'm wrong? Or you don't want to get a friend or family member in trouble, or you might be scared or worried that you won't be believed. But if you don't share your concerns, then you risk a child being in danger and continuing to being abused.
Mm-hmm.
So by reporting it, you're taking the first step to help them by keeping them safe and getting the support they need.
Mm-hmm.
And it is completely, they don't say who made the report. So it's confidential, everything that is
mm-hmm.
being said. So, you know, that family doesn't know who made the report. And it's better to err on the side of caution and make the report because, you know, you don't want to hear something happen to that child and you think to yourself, I should have called. Well, now it might be too late, you know. And,
right.
and so that's, I think, what a lot of people and now, being that we don't have the teachers and also pediatricians, because a lot of kids aren't being taken to the doctors for due to the pandemic, a lot of concern
mm-hmm.
there. So we don't have the eyes that we generally did have because they reported between the pediatricians and also teachers, they reported 40% of abuse. So
mm-hmm.
if you're taking the eyes, you know, away from the child, there's no one that's, you know, can see them, that there is a problem. And not
mm-hmm.
only with that, there's also what happens behind closed doors because, you know, a lot of people this year or since this pandemic has happened are very stressed. There's a lot of uncertainty with finances. There's just a lot of things going on which can make even their home life a lot more difficult for these kids because now
right.
there's a big increase of maybe alcohol use in the household, anger and domestic violence because of this pandemic and the feelings that's bringing to the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we
do you have
everyone.
Yeah.
Do you have any statistics at all regarding child abuse or anything that's happened since the pandemic or anything like that?
Yes, actually, I do. So, well, with the pandemic, this one has, it's kind of, so what they're saying is there's actually 20 to 70% have of official reports to child protection agencies have declined since the pandemic. Now, that is, that doesn't mean it's not happening. That means that there's not reporting happening. So experts predicted that the drop in reporting when the coronavirus pandemic was declared, noting that, like I said, the school closures keeping children out of the view of the adults who make a fifth of all the child abuse reports. And at the same time, they fear that the rising unemployment and other economic stresses linked to the outbreak have increased the risk of abuse and neglect. So there's no statistics that they have come out, but they're really trying to work on that. But they know that the abuse rate, even though it's not reported, has increased substantially. Even though it states that it's 20 to 70% less reports, but they know that there's more abuse going on in the home, but there's no way to report that. So as far as, but 700,000 children are abused in the U.S. each year. So that's a lot of children. And it's estimated that at least 1 in 7 children in the United States have experienced child abuse and or neglect in the past year. And that's 1 in 7 children. So that's, that could be your neighbor. That could be the little boy across the street. And with also the child care workers such as myself, we ensure the safety of more than 3.5 million kids annually. And also, this was interesting too, that boys and girls experience similar rates of childhood abuse. So it's not more common in boys versus girls. It's pretty much, it's 48.6% boys and 51% girls. And rates of child abuse and neglect are 5 times higher for children and families with low socioeconomic status compared to children and families with higher socioeconomic status. And also, children younger than 1 year, 1 year old, are the most vulnerable to maltreatment, and they account for more than half of child fatalities from abuse in 2018. And also in 2018, 76% of child abuse perpetrators were a parent to the victim. So child abuse is definitely most common from a parent. And also, it's an estimated 1,770 children died from abuse and neglect in the U.S. in 2018. So
I know a while ago, a few years ago, when they were doing things for Child Abuse Awareness Month, they were using a 2-wick candle to show that 2 children were dying every day of child abuse in the U.S., and then eventually it got up to 5-wick candles for 5 children dying every day in the U.S. I don't know if you have anything further on that on a daily basis, you know, how many kids, but you know, that was a few years ago, so I'm sure that it's gone up even more than that.
I'm sure it has. You know, and the thing is, with children who have experienced any form of violence in childhood, they're at a 13% greater likelihood of not graduating from high school. You know, it's, so there's a lot of, you know, the adult survivors of abuse, of childhood abuse, there's a lot of problems that happen in adulthood. There's their health, a lot more health and mental health difficulties, depression, anxiety, PTSD, substance abuse use. So, you know, there's so much that happens from the abuse.
Yeah. We had a person that
spoke to Child Safe Michigan a few years ago. She's passed away since then, but she was in foster care and had a very, very abusive foster mother, and her brother was in foster care with her. And evidently the mother used to hang them up by their hands in a room, I think naked, to sleep that way with their arms tied up on top and just hanging. And she said her brother, she has had a book out. I think it was like called something like Peter's Song. And she said all she could hear was her brother humming a tune, and which kind of calmed her a little bit when her brother was doing that. And then eventually her brother was not making any noise anymore. He'd passed away from the abuse. And she said the only thing that kept her from being a normal person when she grew up was she had a foster mother for a couple of years that was a loving person and gave her love. And she ended up growing up and having a family and actually worked for one of the organizations to help kids. But it's just really unconscionable the things that you find out that people have done to kids. And I don't think they realize how much damage just the verbal abuse, I shouldn't say just, that verbal abuse does to kids too. And then there's also abuse from bullying at school.
Yeah.
I don't know how that can be handled with other kids that are doing things to them. Is that something that Child Protective Services ever hear about that, or how does that work?
Well, with we don't really hear about that too much, the bullying and cyber bullying.
Yeah.
Which, you know, because it's so what it does to the children is so damaging. Because they can never get away from it, you know. They
mm-hmm.
turn on the computer and it's there. And especially now that it's so many of the kids have been doing online learning, they have to be. They're
yeah.
forced to be on these computers, especially the high schoolers,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, most of them are virtual.
Yeah.
So, yeah, cyberbullying and online bullying, it can follow them wherever they go, gaming,
mm-hmm.
their mobile phones, physical injuries.
Suicide rate has gone up too, hasn't it? Suicide rate
oh, yeah.
has gone up also?
Yeah. And children that they have proven that the ones that have been bullied via cyberbullying, they develop mental health problems, depression, anxiety, have fewer friendships, aren't accepted
mm-hmm.
by their peers, are suspicious of a lot of other people, and they have problems adjusting to school and don't do as well.
Yeah. When people are suspecting some abuse or they want to try to at least be aware if a child has something that they would suspect, what should they look for?
So, So some of the common signs that you know anyone could look for, that would include bruisings or faded bruises. You know, like they've been out of school for a little bit, and then when they come back, there's a bruise, but it's faded. There's also
mm-hmm.
Broken bones, fractured bones. There's a lot of weight gain, like if you're for neglect, if signs of neglect would be like poor growth or not gaining weight or being very overweight. There's also
mm-hmm.
poor hygiene, lack of clothing or supplies to meet physical needs. So if you're noticing, you know, a child in the winter is wearing shorts or, you know, shoes with holes in them, that's not really, you know, keeping them warm, you know, that is definitely a sign
mm-hmm.
of neglect. Or if you notice a child taking food, like stealing food or hiding food for later, that's another
mm-hmm.
sign for neglect. and just basically like lacking clothing and also a poor record of school attendance. That's another big one for neglect. And, you know, there's, for signs of physical abuse, there's the scarring. And as far as, like, emotionally, you know, there's a lot of emotional signs. They spend, like, a lot less time than usual around people. They're secretive. They seem distant, upset, or angry. You just notice, like, a change in their behavior. So,
I
mean,
think now there's so many kids that are experiencing hunger. I don't know if it's at 1 in 5 now or 1 in 4, but, you know, when they don't know whether they're going to, you know, when they get up and say, can I eat anything today, Mommy? Or, you know, they just don't have any food. And with the pandemic, with then canceling out breakfast and lunches that they were getting at school if they were low income, there's a lot of that also.
If they were provided lunches, even though they're virtual, but they don't have the ability to pick up the lunches, you know, there was a lot of problems with that. You know, their school district offered lunches and breakfast, but you had to be at a certain location between a certain time, you know, and a lot of parents are unable to do that, or they might not have the transportation to even do that. So, you know, that also was very challenging. And, you know, then you get with the communication was lost, too, because a lot of parents didn't know how to navigate through emails. And only, you know, they their only forms of communication was, you know, calling the school or via phone. But everything turned to online platforms. And they didn't have a way to navigate through that. So they missed a lot of, you know, instructions of how to go about getting the food and or applying for certain things. That was another technology barriers.
Well, I think, happily, the Biden administration is trying to work on a lot of those programs for kids as far as, you know, the pandemic relief package and different things, increasing SNAP, food stamps, child tax credits, that should help people, and trying to really work on getting communities to work on helping people in their community, you know, get food, you know, unemployment extensions. I think right now it's probably not as bad because there was a lot of help coming in, but it's going to go back to no help after a while. So, going to get some jobs.
I know 5 of my youth on my caseload, they did receive just within the last 3 weeks the $500 worth of benefits that were owed to them, but you know they never had received. So, but you're right. What happens when it goes back to, you know, not those extended benefits? And
Well, hopefully there'll be a lot more jobs available again.
Absolutely.
You know, things are definitely looking up compared to what they could have been with the vaccine rollout being better than we thought it might end up being. I think we have an administration that cares about.
Yes, absolutely. Are you there, Mary? Mary? I can't hear you.
I'm not, this is Penny, and I'm the producer on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. I'm also not able to hear her. So what I'm going to do is just text her right now and see if maybe she didn't hit mute in some way.
Okay.
And then we'll come right back to the show. We can edit this out, too.
Awesome.
Anybody who's listening, pretend this didn't happen.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Texting her right now. It's really heart-wrenching to listen to what you guys are saying. And I know that, you know, you guys do so much to try to help in every way you can. Let me ask you something before Mary. It sounds like she's going to need to call back in. So let me ask you a question. What can citizens do that aren't a part of the system? They're just listening now, and, you know, their hearts catch them. They want to help in some way. What can they do to help these families?
Well, as far as in regards to if they suspect abuse or...
Yeah, if they suspect something, sure, they there's going to be an authority to, you know, report that to. And we can say what that is. If that's an easy
Here I
answer.
Am.
Hi, Mary. You know, I just took over and just asked, you know, what can concerned citizens do?
No, good.
So she was answering
that. Yeah, it dropped
me
somehow, and then when I went back the first time, it said, oh, the host has already called in, so goodbye.
That's okay.
So
we'll edit this out.
And
I'll let you take back over your show.
Okay, so and you want me to continue
what?
To... No, I was just going to say, should I answer the question or?
Yeah. What? Tell me the question again, and Penny, you can always
edit
out.
Yeah, repeat it so that it can be clean. So it'll be clean, and we can cut out all this mess. Okay.
Okay.
The question is, hi, this is Penny, the producer at Body Mind Spirit Radio, and I'm just asking for listeners, what can they do to help out if they are aware that somebody is being abused, or if they just have resources that they want to share or help in some way?
Great question.
Well,
I was going to ask that.
Oh, great. Well, so if a child's in immediate danger, obviously call police or 911. But if they're not in immediate danger, they can make a CPS report. And CPS, again, stands for Child Protective Services. And that phone number is 855-444-3911. And again, if someone does make a CPS report, it is completely confidential. They are 24 hours, and the person on the other line is extremely empathetic and very, it's a very easy process because it is normal to feel anxious and nervous. And there's a lot of reasons why people might not want to report it, like I mentioned, about being if you're worried if you're wrong or you don't want to get a friend and family member in trouble. But you don't have to be certain that abuse is happening. You don't have to know it all for sure. But if you suspect it, it's best just to report it. Again, like I had mentioned, you know, we don't have a lot of eyes on these youth. So it could be your neighbor. It could be the boy at your church that you've noticed a change in, or you've noticed them with bruises coming into, you know, the weekly mass. It would be best to make a report because you don't want to hear something bad on the news. And if a child talks to you about abuse or neglect, it's really important just to listen to the youth carefully to what they're saying. Let them know that they're right by telling you. Let them know that it's not their fault, and it's also very important that you do explain to them what you'll do next, that, you know, there might be a report. But the most important thing is not to ask them leading questions. For example, did he hit you? Because if it ever did go to a trial or, you know, the court system, that might hinder the investigation. Because they would use that as a that you ask them a leading question. So,
Could you ask them a question like, "What happened?"
Yeah,
don't do that either.
You could ask them absolutely. Like if you see a bruise or something, and you ask the child, "Yeah, what happened?" And I've had this happen to me where a youth said, "Well, my dad told me not to talk about it." Well, that's a big red flag right there.
Right.
So when, you know, something like that, and I wouldn't push the child, if, you know, I would feel, I would feel the situation out, but I would also try, you would more than likely, to me, that's a red flag. I would make a report, you know,
yeah.
And you can also, there's tons of resources. If you Google, you know, child abuse, there's a lot of support for that. You know, there's helplines, there's a child helpline that you can call and you can talk to them before making a report. So there's tons and tons of resources. But it's better to be safe.
If you are a teacher, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Better to be safe than sorry. I, at one point I had a child because I was a speech therapist and I had one in my class that I felt like I was seeing a bruise and stuff. And I knew that I was, obligated to call in. But I think at that point, that was the first one I'd ever seen. And so I went to the principal and I told the principal what I saw. And he said, "Oh, let me take care of it," which at the time I thought was okay. That was a long time ago. And, I don't know that, I think it may have been something that had come up in that family before. It was at a parochial school and they, you know, private school, so they knew the family. But I have this feeling now when I think about it that I don't know that he reported it to Child Protective Services. I think he may have handled it himself. And I didn't think that was right later, but... that was the first time that it ever come up for me, and I just, you know, wasn't too sure how to handle it. But anyway, so that was that. But I guess, let's see, what else was I going to ask you about that? Did you have something else, Nicole, that you were about to say?
It's just better, like I said before throughout this interview today, it's very important since we don't have the teachers and pediatricians having eyes on these kids.
Right.
It's very important that everyone as a whole community, you know, if you suspect it, it's better just to report it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to take the children away or anything like people think that they've seen in movies and stuff like that, unless there's a reason to be taken away. And then... you know, that's then that would be great that you reported it because you don't know what's going on in
right.
the household.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
also, you know, if a child doesn't have proper heat, if the house doesn't have heat, that's also a form of neglect. Heat, water,
mm-hmm.
electricity.
Yeah.
So those are other forms. And there's before the last thing that child welfare workers want to do is, you know, take the children away from their parents. Reunification
right.
is the number one priority. And the safety, well, actually, I should say the safety of the children is the number one priority. And if the allegations of abuse are substantiated, then there's other ways before just ripping the families apart. They try to put in, like, Families First, which is a great, great agency that, you know, goes 10 hours a week into the family's household and, you know, assist them with how to maybe make dinner or, you know, make their life a little bit easier
mm-hmm.
and work with the family, you know. And if there's a
yeah.
reason why they can't pay the bills, you know, there's a lot of programs that, you know, people aren't aware of that that are out here. There's so
mm-hmm.
many. So, you know, it could be just as simple as that. They just didn't have any resources or know of where to begin.
Yeah.
So
I think
you know,
you end up with having four or five kids, you don't have time to even think about where you could possibly look for anything. You're lucky
right.
if you could get everything done, and try to get them some food. I think the other way, as far as like people reporting, you know, you're in charge of the mentoring program. It's a critical need for mentors for young people in foster care. And we want to assure positive outcomes for our young people. I've been a mentor to a young girl for about 9 years, and it's my joy. I've been on the board of directors of Child Safe Michigan for 16 years, and I know
what an outstanding organization it is and how much support they give the mentors and the foster families. So maybe you could mention a little bit about mentoring too, Nicole, and what people could do if they want more information on if they would want to be a mentor.
Yeah, sure. So, yes, as Mary said, we are in need of mentors, and especially male mentors, but we're in need of all mentors. And you would you could contact Tiffany, who is my coworker. She's in charge of all the new mentor inquiries, and her email is T. Mullinax, so it's TMULLINAX at childsafemichigan.org, and Michigan spelled out. Or you could always call her at 248-837-2073. We do have a mentor training that's coming up in June, the first Saturday of June. And so it's right around the corner. But it's wonderful. And today, actually, I received a text message from one of the mentors who she's matched with a little boy. And they've been matched for about a year now. And the relationship is wonderful. So his birthday, she had planned a little surprise birthday party for him over the weekend, invited some of her neighbors, and they all had bought him little gifts and stuff. And he gave her a hug at the end of the day, and he said that he'd never had a birthday party or birthday cake.
Oh.
And it was just, it's amazing. The mentors get so much more than they've ever expected out of mentoring these youth. And, you know, because you got to keep in mind, a lot of our youth in foster care, you know, they're always, you know, they might be being moved around places, and the adults that they have in their life are either workers or, you know, if an adult that have placed them into foster care in the first place, so they don't have adults that they can trust and just talk to and do outings with. So it's a really great opportunity for not only the mentee but also the mentors.
No, I agree. I think I get as much out of it, you know, as she does. I've had her since she was 7 and a half, and now she's 17 and about getting ready to go to prom. And we were talking about something, and I can't think of what it was exactly. But I said, maybe I could do that because I'm kind of like family. And she said, no, you are family. So that really made me feel good, and I think Every child needs at least one person that they can love and trust, and it gets very difficult when they're in foster care. So anyone that thinks they would like someone in their life that could really use them, there are children waiting for you. So think about it.
Yes, there are. Yes. And I assure you, you would be very thankful that you did.
And not only that, but Child Safe Michigan gives so much support. There's just so much support. There's so many things. There's lots of events and activities that they give you tickets for that you can do with the kids. You know, if you don't want to spend a lot of money, they love to just go to parks or just, you know, picnics or things outside, especially now with pandemic and everything. But
and we have such great community partners, too. We get tickets every month for Henry Ford in Greenfield Village. So we pass those along to our matches. And then even for their Halloween event and their holiday lights.
Water park.
The Science Center. A lot of wonderful things. And in 2020, we were able to give all our matches Metro Park passes.
Yep.
So that was another great thing because there's so much to do at Metro Parks.
Yeah, and I think, you know, these are kids who need you and want you, so you don't have to be concerned about awkwardness or whatever. Of course, you're getting to know the person, but, you know, they want you. They want to do fun things, and it just is
amazing, you know, what it can do. I know a couple other people who are mentors also, and it has just helped those kids. They're like, can you just adopt me, or can I spend the night? No, we can't spend the night, you know, they feel the closeness and the love from the person, and I think that's immeasurable as far as what children need. So everybody think about it. There's some great kids out there waiting for you.
There are.
Anything else from you, Nicole, about either mentoring or for our child abuse before we close?
No, I think that's about it. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about it. And
I hope you can.
Hopefully
you can
I'll
put
meet some
this,
of your listeners that are training.
Yeah. Well, you do have the training, and, you know, you can even play this recording anywhere that you want to, if you want to play it for people that are thinking about becoming a mentor or whatever. And, you know, we're just going to need to have our eyes on the kids. And, you know, all children are our children, not just our biological children. All children in the U.S. and all children across the world are our children, because we are really all one people. And so we need to care about all children and see what we can do to help in our own small way. It doesn't have to be something big. So thanks again for being on, Nicole. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
thank you, Mary.
You're welcome. And I will be talking to you soon about the mentoring.
Okay, great. Have a great day.
Okay.
Bye, everyone.
You take care.
Thanks
again.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
I'll speak to everyone else next month. Think about being a mentor. It really is a joy. Take care. Bye-bye. Hey, Penny.